So another Monday, another book study or formation class, I would prefer to call it this way. We are on page 246, in the middle, correct? Mm-hmm. In the middle somewhere, you will find it. And the chapter is Cup of Christ. And we continue in this theme of suffering, pain, how to receive that, how to approach it. All right, so let's start to read.
When the cup appears before you, do not look at the men who give it to you, but raise your gaze to heaven and say, shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? I will take the cup of salvation. I cannot reject the cup, which is a pledge of heavenly eternal blessings. Christ's apostle teachers meet patience. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Shall I refuse the cup, which is a means of acquiring and developing the kingdom within me? I will take the cup, for it is God's gift. The cup of Christ is the gift of God, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. You accept the cup, so it would seem, from the hands of men. What business is it of yours whether those men are acting rightly or wrongly? Your duty is to act virtuously as a follower of Christ. With gratitude to God, with living faith approach, and bravely drink every drop.
Not pleasant words. You know, it's very difficult. And we can see that there are like two kinds of this cup, what Christ's cup, and he means suffering. One cup which comes as a gift of God, and each one is gift of God. But I mean, the first one is something what comes naturally from our nature, from our weaknesses, who we are. So this first kind is something with this effect of our fallen nature. For example, we got sick, and it's nobody's fault. It's just something what is present in our life, in this earthly life. It's something what comes with age even. Age itself, old age, is really difficult time for many. Just not only that we are losing abilities we had before, you cannot see better, you so well as before, you cannot walk so fast, you don't have enough strength, but even this decline in other abilities, it's somehow for many like difficult. They feel that there's a shame, that they and it's difficult for many people to accept this, that I am fading out, you know, that and I see all these signs in my body, even in my way how I think. And this is something what comes as a result of our fallen nature. And Christ says us, this, receive that, you know, receive that, and receive the gift of God. And again, as we learned before from previous chapter and through whole this book, is that the sufferings we experience are, as Saint Isaac Sirian says, they are good instructors. They really lead us and guide us towards Christ. And we know from our own experience that people who have a really easy life, without difficulties, everything go well, goes well. So they really are more oriented to the world. They are not so focused on eternal life. They live life with the enjoying life without even thinking about future. You know. Now I don't know, because it's really confusing for me. If I said it during this group or another group, the Slovak group, but there was one bishop who gave interview, and I was just thinking about this stuff here, and he said, well, he said this, that, well, in his life he has this impression that somebody is going in front of him and like cleaning the way, so everything went so easy. And in the book was that, well, if everything goes very easy, you are on the wrong path. So I thought, oh, well, you don't know what you are talking about now, that you are on the wrong path. But truly, it is this way. And even younger people here, if you can have already this experience that many good things you learn only through suffering. That suffering brought you to wisdom you now carry in your heart, in your soul, as a treasure. Wisdom which already is helping you to navigate your life and to avoid wrong things. So it was in God's providence that he arranged this way to use this pain, suffering, which comes to our life as a tool to focus our mind and heart, our soul, to eternal things, to God things. And even those things which are coming from people, that it is not something what comes like naturally, like getting old or getting sick, which comes like this injustice which comes from the side of people. He says, and he's repeating just teaching of Holy Father, that don't care if this is correct or not, if this is justice or not justice. Your answer should be virtuous. Actually, we should be thankful even for those moments when we feel not justice in approach of others towards us. It's very difficult. But if we stay in this position and we try to follow this wisdom, it will not take long when we experience that it really gives us some kind. It's difficult to explain that this correct state of soul which is connected with peace and mostly with some kind of deeper understanding which we are not able to grasp from books. It is just this clarity of seeing life and all the things in a life and this connection with eternal life. We are getting this clarity, even like God's commandments start to give a sense, and we start to understand why we are, it is God's will. And we are in awe that how this, we are in awe in front of this wisdom of God which leads us to perfectness. And those things are really, really in the beginning very, very difficult, and we have to really cause violence to our will to follow that. In the beginning of each new step, there is this violence when everything else is protesting, but we in trust and because of love to God, we conquered this protest and we follow God's will, then an experience comes which will help us to exercise this very easily. Understanding of many things comes after we accept them through some kind of violence in our will. This first step is step of faith, and then what comes is that deeper knowledge. And deeper knowledge is connected with deeper love, because like child of knowledge, which comes from heaven, is love. And love is accompanied with joy, but not this human joy of the experience, but joy which is much deeper. Joy which causes that we really stop to care even about world. So huge joy that we would not care to die immediately, you know, because we know what this is, joy which gives our like foretaste of heaven. And but if we act this, so another barrier, not our will at first will be protesting, but even people around us will be protesting, almost like putting us to shame, because they would not understand what is going on. I don't know, it was again, one picture, photo with little text and explanation reappeared on Facebook, somebody shared it again. And it was a picture of young man, young Christian, who was somewhere from this, some kind of this Arabic states, or, well, I don't remember the state, but he was preaching gospel. He was talking about Christ. And this is punished in that country by death. So on that photo, his hands are tied and behind his back. There is like this round neck or the rope, and the rope was connected with this arm of crane, ready to raise him up and to kill him. But what was amazing on this picture, that it was taken probably a few minutes before his death. He was so joyful there, full of joy. It was like radiated not only from his face, eyes, from whole his like posture. I think that he had to made all these executors crazy, because it was like they are giving him like favor, huge favor, you know, that was no punishment, so they were not satisfied. And the text was that this is Christian who knows that in few moments he's going to meet his Lord. I was captivated by this photo, and I realized how strange it is for us, you know, that how many times, you know, that we meet people, we visit people who are dying. And what you see is more this sadness, you know, almost this despair sometimes. Instead, well, if that person knows, okay, I am going to meet Christ soon, what is correct answer? Is this despair or this joy? Finally, you know, I'm not going to suffer anymore in this world. I'm going to meet my Lord who wants to give me salvation. And And we lost that. For sure, death is a very tragical thing. I'm not putting it down. It's horrifying things. It's the worst things we can experience is death. But I think that hope and faith should give us this correct approach. Now I'm saying to myself, because when I was looking at the picture, I said, well, what kind of expression I will have a few minutes before my death. But another thought is that if we approach, for example, death as a really what we believe, that it is just gate to eternal life, to life is God. If we believe, yes, we should be joyful. Joyful connection with repentance and, well, all these things connected, but joyful. And can you imagine if we act this way? If we Christians are dying like that young man, I think that if this would be happening, I think we can have liturgies with no sermons, no homilies. We will not need any programs for evangelization. Nothing. Because each death of Christian would be so somehow attractive for those who don't believe in God, that they say, I don't want to live in this despair, this horrifying fear, you know, in front of this. I want to have this hope, this perspective as people have. We would convert in a few years all this country. We would convert because people are searching for this hope. But many times we don't give this hope as a Christian. We are not good witnesses. And the same thing is with the suffering. You know that, yes, we might look like crazy if we approach this suffering like in this way how Saint Ignatius is telling us. To receive even injustice, suffering from others with joy and receive it as a God's gift from ourselves. Oh my! This would be so powerful tool for evangelization. How to really convert hearts of others. And I was reading that it was like very hard for me, like, to go through this. And again, in the repeats, if I am sharing this, my thoughts, that really it is like this good guides, these good instructors, they really show where we are, how much we need to, with patience, to work on our spiritual life to come to this state. But this would be great thing. Each of us can save so many people. So many people, if this would be visible, this approach to suffering be visible for others. They would not understand us at first. Maybe they would make jokes, but in the bottom of heart, they will be like shaken and asking correct questions of their lives. All right. Do you want something share or question? Nothing? Okay, so let's continue.
Accepting the cup from human hands, remember that it is not only the cup of the innocent one, but also of the All-Holy One. Having remembered that, repeat for yourself and for fellow sufferers, sinners like yourself, the words of the blessed and wise thief, which he uttered while crucified at the right hand of the God-man. We receive the due reward of our deeds. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Then turn to the people and say to them, if they are not able to understand and accept your words, do not cast the precious pearls of humility under the feet of those who cannot appreciate them, but say it with your mind and heart. Blessed are you, instruments of the justice and mercy of God, now and forever. In this way, only you will be carrying out the commandment of the gospel, which says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. Pray to the Lord for them, that they may be given temporal and eternal rewards for the insults and offenses they heaped on you, so that what was done to you may be imputed to them for righteousness in the judgment of Christ. Though your heart may not want to do this, force it, for only those who compel their heart to carry out the commandments of the gospel can inherit heaven. If you do not wish to act in this manner, you do not wish to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Carefully examine yourself to see whether you may not preferred another teacher or even submitted to him. The teacher of hatred is the devil.
Yeah. Very powerful part of this chapter, and for sure we notice that he gives us two tools how to somehow force our heart to accept this cup of Christ. The first tool what we can use to force ourselves to correctly accept suffering is that we tell ourselves that we receive the due reward of our deeds. And this is very good ascetical practice in the time of suffering, because while we might not see any connection with some kind of injustice or sickness or getting old and connected wisdom with that, so weakness with that, with that, okay, what is connection with our sins? But who knows? No. And it is whole our state here on earth is somehow marked by sin. And many times we don't see this direct correct connection. So it is correct to say we deserve this. And this thought, this approach to suffering, it's one powerful tool how we can handle these moments correctly. And the second tool which we are supposed to use in this is that we turn to those who cause pain for us, that we turn to them and we say, blessed are you, instruments of the justice and mercy of God. Actually, we are thankful for them, because through them these good instructors are coming, which form our heart. And the most powerful sentence in this part was for me, if you do not wish to act in this manner, you do not wish to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was like too radical for me. that well, okay, it's or not, you know, yes or not. That God doesn't give us another option. He said, or you are doing that, or you are not my follower. Or you are trying to approach his cup. It means he's suffering this way, or you don't belong to him. And those are very radical words. Very radical, but this is the truth, because it is his commandment, his will, even to love enemies, to carry cross in our life. It's really tough teaching, but well, we cannot skip that. There is no benefit for us. Is one thing is that it's easy to refuse that, to say, well, I don't have power and not to try, but we can say, well, I am not able to do it perfectly. And it's some kind of a trick of demons, because they shame us when we try and we fail, or if we do it in some kind of not perfect way. So they put us to shame, to force us to stop with that activity. We have to remember that, we have to remember that God gives us this lifetime, time of life, to acquire this perfectness. And for sure, if we read the life of saints, we see that nobody became perfect through night. That it was like everyday effort and trying. And in the beginning, maybe not very perfect, but they were growing in these skills in following God's commandments. So we have to be ready for this temptation, which surely will come, that we somehow give up because we feel that we are not able to do it perfectly. And it's not only with that, it is with all these commandments of Christ, this calling to virtuous life. The same principle. We become not, and especially in this modern time, when we get things really instantly, you know, it's very difficult to put this patient persistence in doing things if we don't see fruits immediately. It is something what we want, to have this inner of this feeling that we accomplished something. Tap on our shoulders, you did that, now you are fine. You got your title, you got your promotion, something visible, you did something. And in spiritual life, we don't have this. And we have to be prepared for that. That we are growing from glory to glory. That even if we reach some kind of level, there is another level we can reach. This perfectness is without end. So we have to, it's important to pay attention to this and not to be discouraged by these temptations of demons. Some thoughts, comments, questions?
This is very deep stuff, of course. And so one of the things that comes to my mind, and you eloquently, you know, described where the guy had joy before he went to the Lord. Do we as Christians have a right to basically defend ourselves and if some persecution, physical persecution, comes down upon us? Or do we just submissively just go if that scenario ever came upon all of us?
Well, sure, you can find in catechisms that some defense is allowed, justice defense is allowed, but I think that Holy Fathers, they don't talk about that much. You know, they would say, St. Isaac is Syrian, I think it's 62th homily, if I remember well. He says that if you reach this knowledge of God through your prayer, you know, that this level, he talks about three levels of how soul is where you can find the three basic states. The first is when you live carnal life, worldly life. He said that signs in this life is big fear of death. You are afraid of death, and it's like animal, something like animals they have when you want to cut their throat, you know. So this kind of fear and plus is connected with if you in this carnal state, if you raise your mind to God, so another fear is coming, fear. Because you know that there is a judgment. Then he said, so this is one state you can be in. Then there's another state. If you really start to live spiritual life, so then this horrible, terrifying fear of death is going somewhere, disappears a little bit, and more it is the fear of judgment, the poor present. There's like this hope is growing, mercy and everything, but still fear is there. Isaac says it's like a rod which teaches us something, this fear. But he said, but if you do not stop and you continue growing, you can reach this level when you are freed from passions, you are freed from sins, and suddenly you are getting this knowledge of God, and from this knowledge of God is born love, and this love causes that you don't care if you are. You would die immediately if it's possible, no problem. You don't care about earthly things. Okay, now back to your question. I mean, in catechism, yes, they say that there are cases you can defend yourself, but those things are written for those who are not perfect yet. You know? So you can defend yourself, but if you reach this level that you are living with God, you would not care. You would not care. I am simplifying that. But does it make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, yeah.
So yes, it is this allowance that, well, for sure, you protect your family, you protect yourself against, like, enemy, or, you know, we know that, well, there were like wars when against pagans or those who were that in protection of faith, it was justice, wars, but still this is in this realm when we still are not in this perfect way, and we should more take care of, or to force ourselves to go up. This is our calling, to have life in God. And then many of these questions will disappear, because once you taste this foretaste of heaven, nothing makes sense here. It's not, you know, you don't care actually. I don't say that you are a passive or something, but if we look to life of Desert Fathers, and there was these criminals, they attacked hermit, you know, that, and they beat him mercifully. And when they finished, he was thanking them as giving them things as a gift, you know, because you didn't take everything, I still have this, you know. Well, there was no, like, resistance, you know, like, it seems like they didn't care about their lives. You know, and even like that, they probably say exactly what this is, a second tool too. They were called them blessed instruments, you know, for the perfectness of their lives. So we always can talk like about some kind of level, this rational level, you know, and then, but if you go to this spiritual heights, so this logic of this world is totally different. Totally different. You know, and you have, in this, again, from history, you know that, especially these first monasteries, what was that one? I can't recall now. They're like, all these monks of one monastery, big monastery, all monks, and it was like huge number. I don't want to say because I don't remember the exact number now. They're all saints, and they were slaughtered by enemy or these attackers, you know, faith. But it's amazing that this number, what was interesting for me, there were like several times more monks than those attackers. If the monks would stand up, they would defeat those. No, they died. And this is like amazing. I don't say now that we should not be active, you know, in like fighting for truth and to bring truth and justice to the world. This is our this is one of our missions, you know. But if we are growing in a spiritual life, this relationship with God, we might reach this level of this holiness so much that we would be losing interest of this world. You know, and that would be, your unjust death would be just great for us. Many of these rules are because of our, we are in state of not perfectness. You know? And we have to act according to this. I should not foolishly pretend this, that I'm not caring about world, about things, if I am not there yet. You know, that this Holy Father, they point us, well, there is a this level, but it would be not good for us to pretend I'm already there, so I will be imitating these heroic saints. Okay? because this happens even when we say that this love, which is like a result of knowledge of God, which comes from above, and again we feel that they are talking about something what we don't quite understand, but they are forced to use our human words, which are infected by our earthly and carnal understanding. For example, like joy, which comes from love from God. They, for sure, they are not talking about this buffoonery. What is a man who is like
buffoonery?
I'm sorry, I it's not a word I use very often, so I know that, but but you know that you are like full of joy, but it is this joy, carnal joy. Or joy we have if something happens and we have this joy inside, but well, it takes like for a moment and it's gone, you know. So it is some kind of emotion, but it is not joy. What Holy Fathers, they mean if they are talking as a result of this or the sign of love of God. So in the same way, we should not, last week when I had a similar group through Zoom, with Slovak people, there was Branchen was saying something that I don't remember now what, and one lady, she made comments that she said, well, it's so different. I was always told that we have to live a joyful life. Sure, we are supposed to live joyful, but she explained that, well, she always, when she felt like some kind of this some kind of pain over sins and some kind of suffering, and even like in prayer she was led to some kind of like nostalgia, you know, heart, and she always blamed herself, you are not Christian because you don't feel joy now. Mm-hmm. You know, so many times we hear these religious terms and we try to apply for them, but we understand this earthly way, and we apply for and we force ourselves. We want to be good Christians. Yes, so we try to pretend that we are joyful, always full of joy because we are believe. But inside we are in so huge depression, you know. But we want to let others know that, you know, because like we hear this description of Christianity, of life in joy, but this joy comes when we mature in faith. You should be patient. I don't know how we got here. Let's go back to Brianchen, you know. If there is no questions. No. All right.
To offend, to wrong, to persecute one's neighbor is a terrible crime. A still more terrible crime is murder. But he who hates his persecutor, slanderer, betrayer, or murderer, and who harbors resentment against them or seeks to avenge himself is very near to that same crime. Such a man pointlessly pretends to be righteous. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. A living faith in Christ teaches us to accept the cup of Christ, and it fills the hearts of its communicants with hope in Christ. Hope in Christ gives the heart strength and consolation. What suffering, what hellish torture it is to complain and murmur against the cup predestined for us in heaven. Complaints, lacks of patience. Faint-heartedness, and especially despair, are sins, the foul progeny of lack of faith. It is sinful to complain about our neighbors when they are the instruments of our sufferings. And how much more sinful is it to complain when the cup comes down to us directly from heaven, from the right hand of God?
Again, he continues in this stressing that how we should react, how we should not react. And I would, again, I would return back to what we are already talking about. And there are only like few movies, except like cartoons, you know, when I was really sure, but real movies, only few stuck in my mind from childhood. And this movie was based on this novel, famous novel, and again, you have to help me to pronounce that, Miserable. Okay, I didn't hate that. The movie was, I remember this main character and this scene when he was like face to face to that inspector who was like hunting to get him. And this inspector finally was there and without weapon, I think. And he had, and there was someone on the ground and he could really kill him. And to finish this suffering, this all these bad things which were caused by this. And I remember that he let him go. And for me, this stuck in my memory. It was so powerful. So powerful. And until now, I remember even where I was when I was in which room I remember all these details. So powerful this moment for me. I think it was like first time probably in my life when I came to this understanding of what happened and this greatness of acting of this man. And I recall back is that he says that, well, that we should not make revenge towards others and to really be, to complain, to whine, and just to really to accept this as in the spirit or this meaning, these words we read before. If we are able to do this, if I was such a child and it had impact until now, you know, this powerful thing, so how huge impact we would have on people of this world. How powerful. What kind of impact we will do if we act as people of this world? Nothing. Even Christ would look at us, well, you are not mine. Hey, Patrick.
In that play, Jean Valjean, the main character,
yeah,
steals from the bishop. And when the police take him back, the bishop says, oh, you forgot this, and gives him more. And then when they were alone, he said, I have bought your soul for God, okay? Javert, on the other end, was so hung up with the earthly concept of what justice and revenge and paying for sin, when Jean Valjean let him go, it so confused him that he ended up destroying himself. He ended up killing himself. And that's the difference, you know?
Yeah.
That's the difference. When you're hung up on the earthly concepts of these things, you don't understand the heavenly concepts.
Well, now I am coming to this very bad conclusion. There's a perfect revenge to your enemies because they can punish themselves because they're not able to carry that. Probably this movie is not good. Good example, you know. But for sure, he had choice. He had to react to this reality, this experience somehow. He was not able to accept it correctly, but how powerful it was for him to make decision. And look, this is this power which touches souls of those around us, not only who directly somehow touch us, but even those who are observers of that. And they force them to really think and to make decision somehow. Let's not go to conclusions, you know. Okay, I think that I would finish here because we have only a few minutes left. Do you have some kind of comments or more?
I have a question.
Yes.
Is it possible if someone wrongs you, but you don't do anything revengeful or anything back against them? You know, they always say that God says revenge is mine. Is it possible that if something happens to those people, that it was from God?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I tell you one story. Not story, this experience. My father, he spent like 27 years in one parish. So 27 years, it's good time that he became a real spiritual father. He was through experience and knowledge of people, etc. But on the other hand, it is like huge, it is cross for priest. Because you experience so much, some kind of, because priest can, he knows everything. Everything comes to him. He knows that each rumor or gossip or whatever or judgment, it comes sooner or later. And his ministry was during like very difficult years for our country. There was like a lot of, because of communists, a bit of, because of other things. So it was not easy to live, there were some people who did really bad things to him, which really I know I live in a family, so I really know how difficult it was. He never reacted like with revenge. Actually, my mother, she was like crazy many times because he made favor to those people, and my mother couldn't stand this. How can you to that person? But all those people died really in interesting way. You know, one person I know it exactly, I have in mind, he died because like 2 weeks or 3 weeks when what he did, he was like horse kick him to the head, you know, and he died. It was always some kind of accident. So and he noticed that, my father. And so when we were not like my brother and I, we were not very obedient, he said, "Look, don't do this to me." Something will happen to you, you know. He was making like jokes about that. But, well, it was very strong for us. You know, this reminder worked. So probably he was using that. Because, but it was something that was repeating. You know, it was like sudden death, tragic death. Sooner or later, it came. He has got defense, his own. I don't say that he buried like half a village, you know. No, because of that, no. But there were like several cases, and it was like evident that, and people knew, and they were saying that he was, they did really something really bad. And people saw that my father didn't react as they would wish. People, and suddenly they saw that the person didn't finish well. So there were some kind of rumors. Don't mess with father. I sent a message. Oh my, where we came.
That's why Lana calls you the godfather of the business.
Yes, this is what I got. This is like.